Okay, Shalom Rabosai, today's daf is Pesachim daf Nun Beis. We're here at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis at the second to last line over here. And again, if you remember the Mishnah, I'd be talking about keeping a minhagim depending on where you go. If you have one minhag in your hometown, you travel to another town. So what's the deal? So that's basically the topic today, and we're going to talk for a little bit about that. An example of that at the beginning of the daf, then the rest of the daf is pretty much going to talk about shvir shvias, getting rid of fruits in Shemitah time. We said the chiyav is once the produce in question disappears from the field. So then, if a person still has that produce in their house, they have to do beer. They have to get rid of that that produce. We're going to mostly spend today talking about that. But either way, we're amalei Rav Savra l'Rabbi Abi, l'Rabbi Abba. Kigon anan diadinim kviyah diyarcha. Us who know when the calendar. Meaning, we know the kviyah diyarcha. We know when the new moon is set up. And Tosa simply explains that where he lived in a scenario, in a place where the shluchim of Bezdin would reach, so he was aware of which day was Rosh Chodesh, right? Again, if you remember, I'm not sure if we talked about it in this Daf Yomi cycle, but basically the Gemara explains that, what's the point of Yom Tov Sheni is that they weren't sure in certain scenarios the shluchim of Bezdin wouldn't reach certain towns. Again, they decided when Rosh Chodesh was in Yerushalayim, and they sent out messengers. And basically, in some cases, it took 2 weeks or more to travel to get to the place where the Jews were living. So basically, they kept 2 days misafik. Right? They weren't sure. Right? Again, if you're talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, for example, so 15 days later is Pesach. They weren't sure exactly which day, right? Depending on whether the other had 29 or 30 days. So that would impact when Pesach was, right? And also impact whether you could eat chametz on that day, etc., etc. So they kept 2 days Yom Tov. Obviously, nowadays we keep minog of sechem b'yadeichem, it's gemara and beitz adaf dalet. But back then, right, there was a question. Simply, depending on how far you were outside of Yerushalayim, outside of Eretz Yisrael, that would impact whether you kept 1 day Yom Tov or 2 days Yom Tov. So Rav Safra said to Rabbi Abba, he lives, right? We live in a place where the shluchim would have gotten. Did reach by the time Yom Tov showed up, so we know exactly which day Yom Tov is. So if you go to a place which is outside of that area, right? So he says, "Be'yishuv lo avdina mepnei shinei hamachlokes." So if we travel to a place where they keep 2 days, and obviously this is relevant lahalacha, right? From people from Eretz Yisrael traveling to Chutz Laaretz on Yom Tov, when we go to a city which is outside of the tchum, outside of the area. And they keep 2 days Yom Tov. So we also keep 2 days Yom Tov because of machlokas, because we don't want to, people start yelling, hey, listen, you're doing machlokas, you're doing malacha, etc., etc. But what about Bamid Bar Mai? What about if you're in the middle of nowhere and there's nobody keeping 2 days Yom Tov? So what do you have to do? So Amalei said to him, Hachi Amar Rabbi Ami, B'yishuv Aser Bamid Bar Mutter, that if you're in a city where there are Jews. If you're in the city where people are keeping 2 days Yom Tov, so then it is Asr. But if you're in the middle, if you're in the airport and there's nowhere there, whatever, etc., if you're in the desert and there's no one keeping it, so then it is Mutter. Rabbi Nasan, or Rav Nasan Bar Asa, Ozam Mebe Rav Lupum Padisa Beyond of Shem Yishalat Zaris. So apparently, Rav Nasan Bar Asa traveled from the base medrash in Rav, Rav's base medrash, They traveled to Pumpadisa, and that was meaning that from the base marriage to Pumpadisa. Apparently, that was outside the Tchum. That was outside Tchum Shabbos. They traveled on Yom Tov Sheni, right? And the question was what to do with him, right? So the Gemara says Shanti Rav Yosef. That Rav Yosef put him in Chayre, right? Again, they put him in Chayre, meaning. He should have kept the tchum Shabbos because of the lachayant of sheni, but he didn't. Obviously, what was it? Havamina, maybe perhaps that since it only after sheni itself is derabbanan, so maybe tchum doesn't apply. Okay, but either way, so Rav Yosef put him in chayrim. So Amalei bayu l'nag demar. Mar nagidi. Why did you give him malchus? Right, the malchus mar is the rabbanon. So Amalei said adifa avdilei. No, I did something better. Right? Dimimbarava Mimno Anagde Dvarbe Rav Vlomibda Mimnu Ashamta. He said, I give him the worst punishment, meaning it's worse to put him in Chayrim. I wanted to be more strict with him. Because in Eretz Yisrael, right, they would give Malkus to a Talmud Chacham, but they wouldn't put him in Chayrim. And here, in order to preserve the sanctity of Yom Tov Sheni, I gave him the worst punishment to show how strict it is. Igadami, or another understanding of what happened, but that Nagdir of Yosef, they actually gave him Malkus. And Amalei Abaye Nishmetei Mar, Rabbi said, why don't you put him in Chayrim? The Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Rabbi, I'm not in Al Shnei Yamim Tov Shagalios. Because Rabbi Shmuel says, you put someone in Chayrim for violating Yom Tov Sheni. Right? So again, Yom Tov Sheni is serious thing. It has to be just as serious as Yom Tov Rishon. So Amalei said back to him, so Hani Mili Inish De Almo. So that's an Echanami. You can excommunicate, you can put someone in Chayrim. If it's a regular person, but a Talmud Chacham, right, that's not appropriate, right? The Tavalei Avdi B'Dimamarava Mimino Anagde Devar Be'Rav V'Lo Mimino Ashamte, because we're concerned about the Kavanah Torah, right? If he's a Talmud Chacham, you put him in Chayrim, right? So it's going to look like the Kavanah Torah is lacking. So what they would do in the Marava, they would give him Malkus instead of putting him in Chirim, and that's why, since again Rav Nassim Ba'Askia is a Talmud Chacham, so then I gave him the lesser punishment in giving him Malkus as opposed to giving him Chirim. All right, but okay, the main topic today is trying to understand, if you remember, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in our Mishnah. Now, Rabbi, if you flip back to the Mishnah, right, it really starts Nun Lamed Aleph, but Rabbi Yehuda goes Nun Lamed Beis. So we had said that a person has to keep the chumros of the place where he's going, and then we said kayotzibo. Similarly, someone who takes peres shvius, the fruit of a shmita, from a place where it was gone to a place where it wasn't gone, or the reverse. So chayev levayer, he has to burn. Right, again, he has to observe the halachas of biur. He has to get rid of the food that he has. Right, even though maybe it wasn't gone in his hometown, but wherever he was located, right? Again, it's the same thing, meaning you take the chumras. And Rabbi Yehuda had said, Seva ve'elecha av ata. You go out and bring some fruit for yourself. The question is, what in the world does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? What does that mean? So the Gemara originally assumes that it meant it was the simple understanding, right? Meaning that, we say that if you can bring it out from yourself, so then you don't have to burn it. If you still have it available, you don't have to burn the produce that you have with you. Again, the halacha of beer is that if you have, let's say, for example, apples in your house, and there are no more apples in the field, so then you have to get rid of the apples that are in your house as well. The question is, let's say you go from Yerushalayim to Tzfat. And in Tzfas, there are no more apples, but in Yerushalayim there was apples, or the reverse. Maybe in Yerushalayim there were no more apples, but in Tzfat there were apples. So what does that mean for your own produce that you have? So again, Rabbi Yehuda said, maybe go out, bring for yourself. So the Gemara says, 1 second, but let's say Rabbi Yehuda, how did it not? Does Rabbi Yehuda not hold this Mishnah? Right, that nosna lechover and makom shiyotza misham, lechover and makom shiyotza misham. Why is it dependent? What do you mean, go out and bring some fruit from the local fields? The chumras, you have to keep the chumras, the Mishnah says. So whatever it was, you should be machmer, you should have to do beer, you have to get rid of the produce. So Amar Rav Shisha Brei Ravidi. So he said that we're talking about something else completely, right? So he said Milser Achrisi Kamar Rav Yehuda. Ve'alchi Kamar Rav Yehuda is talking about a completely different case, because this is what he means to say: Omi Makom Shalo Kalu LaMakom Shekalu Shalo Kalu. Or maybe it's a place where you went from where they had produce to a place where they had produce in the field, meaning it was still out, it was still available in Yerushalayim, it was still available in Tzfas. V'shamash akol b'mkomo. And you heard, right, you're from Yerushalayim, you went to Tzvat, so you heard that there are no more apples in Yerushalayim. So in that case, that's probably a bad example, because, right, let's say one of the Shemes Aminim, yeah, so let's say there are no more dates in Yerushalayim. So chayiv the vayir, then the Tanakhama holds that you have to get rid of the dates that you're holding. So the Rabbi Yehuda, Om Rabbi Yehuda says, tsev aveilecha af ata meicha disneyu. Right? Why don't you? What he says is no. You could just go bring from where these dates were from. Where were these dates from? Yerushalayim. There still are dates in Yerushalayim. V'halo kaluluhu, and there are no more. Meaning, the other way around. Meaning, if you heard that they ran out in Yerushalayim, so you could just say no. Just why don't you go and bring dates from where I am right now? Right in Tzfas. Right now, there still are dates. So therefore. It's Mekel, and you don't have to. He's Mekel, and you don't have to destroy the dates that he has, because his new location still has dates in the field. So Gemara says, "Lamei Rabbi Yehuda, Lakula Kamar." Rabbi Yehuda is being Mekel here, right? V'Amar Rabbi Lazar, Lo Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Elochomer. Right? One second, Rabbi Yehuda is being Machmir. So you can't tell me that if you go from a place where they had from a place where they have produce to a place where they have produce, and then they hear that the produce in your hometown is gone, that you could just say, "Oh, I'm in a new town now. I'm in a new town, and they have produce, and they still have dates, and therefore I can keep mine." What do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda is being machmir. So El, the Gemara says, Eboch. Really, no, the reverse is should be true. Meaning that Tanahat Kama holds in Ochai of the Vayar, that you don't have to get rid of the dates, because in Tzfas they still have dates, even though you're from Yerushalayim, and the dates are gone. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Tzeva Avelecha Afata Mecha Deistayu, V'akaluluhu. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it depends on where you came from, meaning if you can go back and get dates from there, and since the dates are gone in Yerushalayim, then you have to get rid of your dates as well. Abaye Amar, Abaye says, La'olam kedigatani. Well, really, it's like we originally understood. V'achikamar. And this is what he means to say. Right? Omim makam shalo kalu, l'makam shakalu. Really, the case is that you went from a place where they still have dates to a place where they don't have dates. V'achziranam koman. And then you went back. V'adayin lo kalu, and they still have dates in your hometown. So you went from Yerushalayim to Tzfas. Yerushalayim has dates, Tzfas does not. Then you came back to Yerushalayim where they still have dates. So according to Tanakama, Einu chayv davar, therefore you don't have to get rid of it. Right? The dates are from a town where they still have produce in the field. You went and traveled to a place where they don't. And then you came back. What does that matter? Right? The dates are from a place where they still have dates in the field. You're now back in a place where they still have dates in the field. Therefore, you should be able to eat the dates. Right? Go if you can bring me produce from where you traveled to, meaning from Tzfas, and it's gone. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would have to get rid of the dates, because they traveled through a place where the dates were gone. Rav Ashi asked the following question from Rav Yehuda. Atu agave dechamra kaltinu? He said, what are you talking about? But just because it traveled on the back of the donkey, right, now it's going to be collated, now it's going to be collected, now it's going to be, we're going to determine based on where it traveled? That doesn't make sense. That you should determine where the dates, the status of the dates based on where it's been? Right, through the stamps on the passport, that's going to tell me the status of the dates. Rav Ashi says no, but put the honey tonight. This is the machlokas in our Mishnah between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. They're arguing in the following machlokas. Tetznan, like we learned in the Mishnah, hakovish shloshi kvashim v'chavis achas. If you have a barrel of pickle juice and you're pickling three different vegetables in one barrel, so when do you have to get rid of those pickles? Do you have to get rid of it when one of those pickles are gone from the field? Do you have to get rid of it when, you know, all of the pickles are gone from the field? Or could you go species by species? So sure enough, we have that exact machlokas, three-way machlokas, in those three cases, those three opinions. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ochlen al harishon, you can eat as long as the first one is still there, meaning it's the moment the first one is gone from the field, then you have to get rid of all of it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afala Achron. Rabbi Yehuda says you can eat all the species until all of them are gone from the field. So even if two species are gone from the field, but one of them is not, so then you can still eat the pickles in the jar. And Rabbi Gamliel Omer Kol Shekolam Mino Minasada Yivar Mino Minachavis Velach Kedvarav. And Rabbi Gamliel says it just depends. It depends on which species is what, and whether that species is still around. So that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kama. Rabbi Yehuda is holding like Rabbi Gamliel, who's saying Havei Efata, meaning if you can go and bring the species that in question from the field, so then that's fine, then you can keep it, and if not, then you have to get rid of it. And the Tana Kama is holding like Rabbi Yehoshua, who's Mekel, and says that you can wait until. You can eat all of them until the last type of pickle is gone from the field. Ravina, Amar Ravina says a different understanding of the machlokas. Really, it's this machlokas that between Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kama in our Mishnah. It's not within the Mishnah. Ochlin, but tomorrow matshikala ahachron shabbat zohar. A person is allowed to eat dates, and all of we're going to see that the Eretz Yisrael was split into thirds. For the purposes of determining where, saying are the fruits gone? Are they not gone? Are they still here? Are they not here? So in the area in the section, the middle section of Yehuda, I think it's the middle section, you're allowed to eat the dates until the last dates and tzoar were gone. Meaning that was the last stronghold, I guess, the last area. To get rid of dates. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Ochlan al shelbein hakipen, vein ochlan al shelbein hashitzen." You're allowed to eat dates if it's in the tree itself, meaning up in the palm branches, but not on the shitzen. The shitzen literally means thorns, but if you look at a decal, a palm tree, so it has spikes on the bottom. So where do we say, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? What do we say that it's still considered to have dates in the field where the animals can eat? That's if it's on the tree and not on the bottom, right? If it's on the thorns, then the animals cannot get it, and that does not count. So the machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is this machlokas. Tanakama in our Mishnah holds like Tanakama here. When the Tanakama says Kolu has to be destroyed, it has to be gone. Right, it's gone from everywhere. Right, even meaning the Tanakama would say that even if the dates are on the bottom, so then that counts. Right, that still counts as if the dates exist. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, can you go out and bring from yourself? Meaning, you're not going to, if you can't get dates from where you usually get them, right, i.e. up in the tree by the palm branches, so then that doesn't count, and that is not considered, just because there are dates on the bottom that have fallen down between the quote-unquote the thorns on the bottom of the tree, that does not necessarily mean that there are dates available. Okay, fine. That's like, what is it, 4, 5, 6 ways to understand what exactly Rabbi Yehuda was saying at the end of our Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, Tan Hasan, let's talk about this chiyuv of biur, the chiyuv to get rid of Shemitah produce that is no longer in the field. Shlosha aratzos lebiur, there are three lands in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is divided into threes, into thirds, in terms of biur. And depending on, where, if there are dates, let's say, for example, left in any certain section, that's going to determine whether you can eat, dates in that entire section. And it's split into thirds, Yehuda ve'ever le'Yarden ve'Galil, right, in Yehuda, on the other side of the Yarden, and up north in the Galil. Ve'shelos aratos b'chol achas ve'achas, and each of these three sections has three lands inside of those sections. So the Gemara says, v'lama amru shelosh aratos le'bir, so therefore, why do you say it's three? It should really be nine. Right, 3 times 3 is 9. So it says, "Shiyu Oakland b'chol achas ve'achas ad shiicha ha'acharon sheba," because those three lands, right, everybody's allowed to eat within those boundaries until the last of the dates are gone within it. Even though each three of these lands have different sections of their own, right, in terms of the halacha of beer, so we're going to say that not beer chametz, right, but beer shmita, right, to get rid of the shmita fruit. So that's dependent on the borders, right? Yehuda and Ever the Yarden and the Galil, and when they're gone from those sections, then you have to get rid of the produce in your field. But not immediately. How do you know that this is true? Right? Where do we get this from? So Amar Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, Amar Kala. Pasuk says, "V'liv ha'em techa v'lachaya shar be'artzecha." Right? It has to be available for the animals in the land. Right? Calls man shaya ochelas min asade shah ha'ochal lebehima shebebayis shebebayis. Meaning any time that the animal can eat in the field, so then you can eat In the house. And if it's gone from the animal in the field, so then it has to be gone. You have to get rid of it for the animal that's in your house. And we have a tradition that animals will not go, right? Let's say, for example, they will not travel from Yerushalayim to Tzfas looking for produce. So they won't go from Yehuda to the Galil looking for fruit. So therefore, if it's gone from Yehuda, so then it's gone. You have to get rid of it in your house as well. And also, the vice versa is true. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Peros sheyatzu meretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz misbarin b'chol makom shehein. Where do you have to do beer? Let's say you take fruits from Eretz Yisrael, and they end up in Chutz La'aretz. Right? Again, not necessarily limited to fruits right now. Certainly, you have Shemitah wine that is definitely relevant nowadays. Let's say you have some Peres Shvius, some fruit with Kedusha Shvius. Now it's in Chutz La'aretz. So according to Tanakama, you're allowed to burn it, you're allowed to get rid of it anywhere. You have to burn it in Eretz Yisrael. Mishum Shenamar, as opposed to says, Be'eretz Secha. Has to be, you have to get rid of it in your land. The Gemara says, didn't we just use that pasuk? Right? To teach me that the lands are split up into thirds, right? Anywhere the right Yehuda, the animal is not going to go from the Yehuda to the Galil, etc. So Gemara says, okay, either we understand, we get it from the extra chaf, right, from your land, you can learn that second drasha from that pasuk instead of from that for those two words and not just the word. Okay. Rav Safra Nafik from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Rav Safra traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz and Hava Behedya Garba de Chamra de Shvius. And sure enough, he had a bottle of wine. So Lavu Behedya Rav Huna Braid the Rav Ika for Rav Kahana. So he was traveling with Rav Huna Braid the Rav Ika and Rav Kahana. And Amalahu, he said to them, Ika de Shmele Mine de Rav Yavo. Right? Did you hear what Rabbi Yavo said? Is Allah like Rav Shimon Elazar or Allah? Right? Is the Allah like Rav Shimon Elazar? Do I have to go back to Eretz Yisrael and burn and get rid of this this Shemitah wine? Now, obviously, nowadays we don't do that. There's no chiyuv to destroy Shemitah wine, right? We don't do that at Halacha, just before, to be clear. But do we have to go and get rid of, do I have to burn it? Do I have to go back to, get rid of it, dispose it in Eretz Yisrael or not? So I'm like, Rav Kahana, Hachem, Rabbi Yavo, Halacha, Rishim, and Elazar. The Halacha is that you have to go back to Eretz Yisrael and get rid of it. I'm like, Rav Huna, Brei, the Rav Ika, Hachem, Rabbi Yavo, Ain't Alacha Gershim and Elazar. Okay, so they disagreed what Rabbi Yavo said. Is the Alacha like Gershim and Elazar that you have to go back to Eretz Yisrael and get rid of this this Shemitah produce to fulfill the Alacha of Beer? So it was Amar Rav Safra. Rav Safra said, Nakad Ha Kalala, take this rule. Right, the Rav Huna biyadecha, this rule about Rav Huna in your hand, meaning Rav Huna was the one who said that Ein Alach Kershim and Alazar, said that we should always follow Rav Huna. Why? The Daik v'gamer shmeitza mipume de Rabbe, because he was very careful to say over the exact statements of his Rebbeim. So therefore, it's we can rely on him, and we say the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Elazar, that you have to burn the do beer in Eretz Yisrael. Right, Kerachva, the Pumbadisa, just like Rechava, another name of an Amora, in Pumbadisa, Dama Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda, Har Habayis, Stav, Kafal Haya, Stav Lefnim, Mistav. Because Rechava once quoted Rav Yehuda, and he said, Har Habayis is a double row, meaning they had double seating. On the outside, you had a stav agabi stav, meaning two rows of benches. And Rashi and Tosas, Rabbeinu Hanan, discuss exactly what the accurate language was that Rechava was saying in the name of his Rebbe, right? I think one of the, I forget exactly which one it is, right? Rashi definitely says that it was, because he didn't say it was an itztava. Usually we refer to the seating on Har Habayis as an itztava, but since Rabbi Yehuda has called it a stav agabi stav, or what is it? Stav lefnimi stav. So he quoted it exactly how his Rebbe had said it. I can't find it right now, but I think it's either Tosos or Rabbeinu Hanan who says that. No, it was a question of whether it was Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda. So when Rechava said it, he said it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda. So he kind of like fudged and kind of mumbled over the name of Rav so that they couldn't. understand, right? Then people wouldn't, you know, mess up who it was from. Okay, I'm not sure I understand that exactly, because then he wasn't actually quoting it accurately. All right, either way, Lamaisa, let's say it's because he didn't call it Nitzavah instead of the double row. But yeah, the Chazal do talk about exactly why his language is so precise. All right, either way. So, Koreli Rav Yosef, Ami Be'atso Yishal. Umaklo Yagidlo. So Rav Yosef said, okay, well, if you're going to be Mekel, right, you heard two opinions. You heard the Mekel Shita. So Rav Yosef said that Rav Safra is like being Mekel. Right? Call a Mekel Lo Magidlo. Yeah, he picked the Mekel Shita. Right? He took whatever, you know, he had two opinions and he decided to be the Mekel one. Right, then not burn it in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Rabbi Lai cuts Kafnaisa de Shvias. Rabbi Lai once chopped down a palm tree with dates on it, right? With Shemitah dates. The Gemara says, Hechi Abedachi, how could you do this? Right? The Gemara says, La'achla kamarachmana v'lola hefsid. Right? The Pasuk says, right, the Shemitah fruit, right, you're allowed to eat them, but you're not allowed to destroy the fruit trees, right? You're allowed to eat Peretz Shvias, certainly. But you're not allowed to destroy the fruit trees. Now, in Ekanami, actually, there's an issur to destroy fruit trees in general. Right? That's a regular sheet, for irrespective of Shemitah. In any year, you're not allowed to destroy the fruit trees. So the Rishonim do talk about it, either because the tree was more valuable cut down, or meaning it wasn't destroying the fruit tree. Perhaps the wood was more valuable, or the fruit wasn't necessarily ripe. All right, either way, you're going to see that in a second. So Gemara says, "V'chitema honey mili hecha denachas lepeira." Maybe you'll tell me that that's only meaning that you're not allowed to destroy the shmita fruit trees when the fruit has not ripened yet. Aval hecha delo nachas lepeira lo. But if the fruit is still ripening, you're allowed to destroy the fruit tree. V'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Baravua, honey mitchali de arla asiri. These apparently on the date tree, it grows something that goes around the dates when they're young. Right, so these date kind of sleeves that the tree grows, if they're orla, they're aser, implying that it's part of the fruit. Halav and aser shomer lepri, because it's again that kind of protects the fruit when it's not fully ripe. Veshomer lepri emasave. So when do you have a pre cover? Right, but kofri, that's when the dates are young, when they're underdeveloped. I have a kakarit lepri, and yet that item is still called, right, part of the fruit. So apparently we see that that's also considered fruit. So why would Rabbi Eloi destroy these date palm trees? So Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Karabi Yehuda, so Rav Nachman said, it's not Karabi Yehuda, Karabi Yossi, he said he followed because Rabbi Eloi was following the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who argues on the Chachamit, that Tanah Vada, the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Smadar, Asur, Mepre, Shehu, Pere, right? You're not allowed to get rid of. That's also an underdeveloped grape, a very young and unripe grape. You're not allowed to get rid of that because that's considered to be a fruit. Upligi Rabbanan alei, but the Rabbanan disagree, and they don't say that type of fruit is usur. Sorry, not to get rid of it. I apologize. I mean, this is talking about orla, that you're not allowed to eat it. Right, that you're not allowed to eat it, even if it's even if it's a very unripe fruit. Meaning the smadar is considered, according to Tanakama, according to Rabbi Yossi, sorry, according to Rabbi Yossi, the smadar, which is an unripe grape, is usur because of orla. The Rabbanan say no, that's not considered to be actual grapes yet, or it's very early in the grape growing process, and that's not considered to be fruit yet. So the Chachamim hold that this fruit that has barely been, it's like a bud or a flower, I guess not a flower, but it's like very young in the process, so that's not going to be considered fruit. But Rabbi Eloi held like the Chachamim, So why does the Gemara say Rav Nachman Damar Rav Yossi? Meaning Rav Nachman holds the Rav Yossi, but Rabbi Eloi, followed the Shita of the Chachamim, and therefore he chopped down the date tree that has the very, very unripened fruit. All right, we're going to have a question on this in a second, but we'll stop it for now. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.